This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's always a happy day when it is Wednesday, because it's time for Sounds Like Change with our very special guests. Emily's List. This week, we have got Christina Reynolds. She's the Vice President of Communications and Content at Emily's List. Frequent guest. Really great to have you back, Christina. Thanks so much for making time.
Great to be back. Always happy to chat with you, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So we've got 19 freshman Democratic women that have joined the 119th Congress, which gaveled in on January 3rd. Why is this a big deal?
It's a big deal for a couple of reasons. The first is what it means in the bigger picture. You may have seen some stories, and it is true that the number of women in Congress overall went down. The record high was 152. We will now be at 150. And that's, that is unfortunate. When we're talking about 150 over out of a much larger number, we want those numbers to continue to go up. But what is important is that the number, or one thing that is important anyway, is the number of Democratic women has gone up. And we continue to make progress, to keep moving that ball, to keep moving that that number, because of organizations like Emily's List, because we make an effort, and we do that for an important reason. It is not because we are, because we think women would do a nice job in office. We know that.
Oh, that is true.
We know they would. And the women that we have elected have done amazing things and continue to do amazing things. We do it because we believe that our government should look like the people that it governs. And we do it because, quite honestly, the government in this country isn't made for women. It isn't made for anyone who's not an old, white, usually rich guy. Yeah. That is literally who created the government. That is who they developed it to work for them, and they developed it to work for their issues. And when we get these women in office, we change that. We change the way government works, and we change who government works for. And so that's why it's important.
Yeah, there's a really big, big picture here. And I think that is when folks talk with derision about DEI, right? Right. That's the point that gets missed. And a woman, all else being equal, is more likely than a man to actually show up and represent middle-class interests, right? Because the system was created by older, richer, whiter male, right? If the system is created by those people, whether by intentional design or benign neglect or blinders, it's going to work best for the people that designed it image, if you will, right? So it's really, really critical, though the discussion doesn't end simply because it's a woman.
No.
How does this compare to Democratic representation of women in years prior? Because it seems to me Democrats are making some big strides.
We really are. So Emily's List, we turned 40 this year.
Happy birthday, Emily's List.
I want us to make a t-shirt that says, Lordy, Lordy, Emily's 40. And that has been rejected. I'm told that's not cool.
Oh, come on.
No, what are you going to do? But in those 40 years, I want to take a step back and say, when Emily's List started, there were the percentage of the Democratic caucus that was women was less than 5%. Mm-hmm. It is now almost 45%. So we still have room to grow, but that's a huge movement. Also, when we started, there were 25 women in Congress and 13 of those were Republicans. There were actually more Republican women than Democratic.
Wild.
But like, let's also look at who we have elected. We have elected the first women in their 30s to Congress. Yeah. We have elected, which matters, by the way, if you've ever watched a hearing, you know, and you hear old guys talking about the internet, you know, and the series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes.
You know, we need people who actually understand what people are going through working on this. We have elected a number of LGBTQ people. We have elected working moms, you know, who understand some of those challenges. We have elected, for example, more Black women who have brought attention to issues like the Black maternal mortality crisis in this country. All of these things matter. And many of these things were not being addressed when people in there, and it's, I'm not saying, you know, this is not saying that an old white guy can't care about the issues of a young, for example, woman of color or an LGBTQ woman. Sure, they can. But you get those issues addressed, you get them addressed more authentically, you know, more at the heart of the issue, and you get them addressed more when you are truly representative in our representative government.
It's fascinating to be having this discussion with you at this moment, Christina, because here in Wisconsin, Republicans have refused to permit voters to exercise the same power that they as legislators do to bring questions of referendum to voters. Yep. And the biggest glaring sore thumb problem with that is that Wisconsin voters and Wisconsin women overwhelmingly support reproductive freedom and reproductive choice. And yet what we're going to see on the ballot this April isn't giving voters in the state of Wisconsin the right to either say yay or nay over reproductive choice and freedom. No, the constitutional amendment that we're going to see on the ballot come this April is some gobbledygook designed to confuse voters about increasing barriers to people being able to vote. It's exactly what you're talking about in action and at play. What does it mean to have these Emily's List endorsed candidates joining Congress as we go into this second Trump presidency under this Republican trifecta for people and families here in the state of Wisconsin?
It means that they will continue to do the work and to raise the issues. We're not going to, you know, right now we don't have a majority in either body of Congress. And so there's a lot that we won't win. But I'm going to tell you, if you watched, for example, Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing yesterday.
And unfortunately I did. Yes.
Right. And what you saw, you know, I was incredibly interested. Obviously there's a lot that got brought up there and there's a lot that's wrong with this guy's record. But one of the things that I was most grateful for was new Senator Alyssa Slotkin, who has worked under four secretaries of the defense, Republican and Democrat, who has worked in that space and who raised questions of, what if she got him to acknowledge that the president could ask for something from members of the military that was unconstitutional, but he refused to answer whether he would follow that order. I am glad that's on the record. I am glad that people are seeing what the threat is. I am glad that members of the committee made him answer questions like, should women be in combat? I am glad that Mazie Hirono asks every single nominee, have you ever sexually harassed someone? And, you know, have you ever covered it up? Right? That is an important question. And that question didn't always get asked until Mazie Hirono made it her business. And so we may not win every fight, but what matters is that these questions are getting asked. And my hope is, listen, I don't think he's qualified to be Secretary of Defense. He's a daughter of a Marine and someone who cares very much about what happens to our military. But I certainly hope that this opened his eyes, that people are watching. I certainly hope he knows that in Alyssa Slotkin, he has someone who would work with him to do good things for the military, but will be watching to make sure that he doesn't do unconstitutional things with the military.
It was that hearing was such a study, frankly, in gendered communication. If sure. that is your, it was, there was a lot of kind of how dare you, a lot of non-responsiveness, mm-hmm. a lot of bluster instead of content. And listen, I don't like Pam Bondi as an AG, but if you stack up that confirmation hearing with Pete Hegseth's, it's like she's just way more responsive. She pivots to the talking point, but sure. she was at least responsive. Less talking over senators. Still some, but less. More grist for the mill, more substance. So to me, there is a bigger picture. And yes, I am all about supporting, especially Democratic pro-choice candidates.
Yes.
But even if you step back and you say, I'm a conservative, those aren't principles I agree with. You can see the difference. Like Pam Bondi, better nominee than Pete Hegseth by leaps and bounds on almost every metric. And oh yeah, without the history of boorish alcoholic behavior and harassment and sexually explicit banter. I mean, all of it. So it matters for conservatives, which brings me to this next question. How's it going for Republican women in Congress?
It's not going that well, unfortunately. One of the things that we're seeing, and this gets to the point of this is why on Emily's list, it does take deliberate effort. It does take work. Because while we know that if women are set up and, you know, if women are given an equal playing field, they can win in both parties, right?
Yes.
Given an equal playing field, they make great candidates and they tell the stories well and they get out and they do the work. And they can raise the money, which is something that we used to hear. But it does take deliberate effort because these systems are not made for us. And what has happened on the Republican side is they had some efforts. Elise Stefanik is one of the people who made some efforts. They made some efforts at recruiting. They made some efforts at doing it, and they've fallen back.
Yep.
And, you know, we have kept doing it. We have kept making it a priority. That's why Emily's List exists. And I'm very proud of the work that we've done and the way that we have made this Congress so much better by electing these amazing women.
Folks, her name is Christina Reynolds. She's the Senior VP of Communications and Content for Emily's List. Good friend of the show. She's here at Emily's List, sometimes not Christina, with me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for Sounds Like Change. We're going to have to take care of a little business. We're going to come right back with Christina. We're going to talk also about, hey, how are Republican women doing in the state of Wisconsin? If it's not going so well on the national level, what's happening right here at home? What does that mean for you? And what's next for all of us, each and every one of you and your families? Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Quite Friday yet. It is Wednesday. It is the 3 o'clock half hour, and that means it Sounds Like Change with the Maggie Dawn Show's special guests from Emily's List. Today we've got Christina Reynolds. She's the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content. Thanks again, and as always, Christina, for making time. We've been talking about the changing contours and demographics of this new 119th Congress, a lot of backsliding, less Republican congressional women, female representation in Congress. And when I turn and look locally, again, and I mean across the state of Wisconsin, I'm not seeing a whole lot of Republican women rising to leadership ranks. I've seen them get sort of cannibalized in Supreme Court races. We've got another Supreme Court race coming up where we got a guy we've been seeing for a long time in Brad Schimmel, teeing off against the more left Susan Crawford. How does it stand for Republican women in the state of Wisconsin? What does this mean locally? All these change, again, the changing dynamics of the MAGA party, and what's going on for women in the Democratic Party? How does that look more closer to home for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can speak much more to the progressive left side of the
ditto, friend.
We are very proud to support Susan Crawford in that race. It is critical to ensure that the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is the reason that we had fair legislative lines drawn, you know, in Wisconsin, right? Was that election of Judge Janet Prusiewicz. And what we're asking for, what we hope, is fair congressional lines as well. And I think that will make a huge difference in Wisconsin to ensure, instead of politicians getting to pick their voters, we want voters getting to pick their politicians, right? That's what fair lines are all about. And so I think the future for women looks bright in Wisconsin, but more on one side of the aisle than the other. And it's yet again needing more more intentionality and more taking a look. And I think it's not shocking that Republicans are seeing some backtracking, because we know which party is going to stand up for women. We know which party is standing up. You know, Maggie, we've talked about this on your show before. Abortion rights is not a partisan issue. The truth is, a majority of people, and a majority of women especially, support abortion rights. And that, unfortunately, women who support abortion rights don't really stay long in the Republican Party as candidates.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a perplexing few years for me, Christina, watching what can only be described as sort of overt misogyny and overt misogynistic messaging, as well as some of the same kind of racially complicated, would be a generous way to put it, but racist would be a more accurate way to put it, messaging. Hey, the Black folks and the women folks that got all these promises of having your lives made better by the MAGA machine, look around and see if that promise is being fulfilled by whom is being chosen as leadership within that MAGA movement. I don't see Byron Donald getting appointed anything, you know. So it's this very sort of some cognitive dissonance there. But looking forward for Emily's list and these this improvement that we're seeing, at least on the Democratic side of the aisle, who are some of the women that Emily's list has endorsed and that we should be looking for in 2025? You mentioned Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford. Cannot wait to get her first interview with me scheduled. Who else is on your list, Christina?
So we're still pretty early in the cycle in terms of endorsements, but I will tell you, we are very excited about gubernatorial candidates and some down ballot candidates in two of the states that have off year elections, which is Virginia. Virginia elects people every year. They just constantly do elections. But Abigail Spanberger, who we've been proud to stand with, is running for governor, and I think will do phenomenal things there. We also have a candidate named Ghazala Hashmi, who's running for lieutenant governor in that state, and Shannon Taylor, who's running for attorney general. In New Jersey, we've got Mikey Sherrill running for governor. And Mikey and Abigail are both, along with, I already mentioned Alyssa Slotkin, who's a new governor in Michigan, and Chrissy Houlihan, a group of sort of national security, national defense women who ran for the House first in 2018 and are now going out and doing great things. That's one of the wonderful things about getting to work at Emily's List and about looking at these women, is you start early and you can watch them grow into these, higher and higher office. And so, but I would say those are two races. If you're looking for races to pay attention to outside of Wisconsin, those governor's races are going to be really important. And I believe, in Virginia, it's the opportunity to elect the first ever woman governor.
That is Abigail Spanberger in Virginia, Mickey Sherrill in New Jersey. Just wanted to be sure we got it right. Of course, Alyssa Slotkin, the new senator, not governor, from Michigan. Want to get that correct. Where can folks find out more about Emily's List, Christina?
Yep, emilyslist.org. It's really simple. I think we're on all the socials. So you can find us on Instagram and Blue Sky and Twitter and all of those. But our website is constantly updated with the women we are endorsing and other ways to get involved.
And if you are a conservative woman who believes in reproductive freedom, go check Emily's List out as well, because we ain't equal and we ain't free until every single one of us is free to choose our own health care. Folks, that's Christina Reynolds, Senior VP of Communications and Content at Emily's List. Good friend of the show and a friend of yours. She or some other fabulous female from Emily's List joined me every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Or Sounds Like Change with Emily's List. What we got coming up next is it's hump day. So it's getting over the hump and Trump. We're going to talk about grabbing and holding our attention spans, staying focused and staying in the present as we try to connect more and create more in 2025. My name's Maggie Dawn, y'all. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're back with getting over the hump and Trump after these brief messages.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Let's begin now.
You know, today, I just woke up, and I
like
said,
this.
You know, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said,
gonna have a good day. And it's always a better day when I am joined by each and every one of you for a little relief in this new segment called Over the Hump and Trump right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. Join me for this special first inaugural official Wednesday 3:30 segment. I'm going to be calling it Over the Hump and Trump because Wednesdays are hump day. Days and I need some help getting over Trump because there's just so much news. In that spirit, today I thought we would talk about the fact that there's so much news, so many things that try to grab our attention. In fact, I think we could call it attention capitalism, right? Like so many business models. Everything is always about grabbing our attention, even this show, right? Like my job is to try to grab your attention and hold it and keep you listening. So I'm in the attention capitalism business myself. I fully will admit and own that. But one of the things that I've been struggling with is how to find relief from all of these constant inputs for my attention. You know, Cardi and I, we work every day to try to put a great show together for each and every one of you. And we got communications between each other on email, on the direct message chat. You know, we got a call. Maybe there's a text message. We got four or five different ways to talk to one another. And that I even listed the phone, right? So we're constantly getting all these inputs all day long. So how do we find like the place of peace? Can we get our minds to relax? How do we create more? How do we connect more in a really genuine and meaningful way? This is all part, or it came really, my friends, from my idea this year that I don't want to do resolutions. I want to do kind of like goals or intentions. And my intentions, my hope for myself and for each and every one of you and your families and those that you love and care about, is that we can do these things more. We can move more. We can play more. We can create more, connect, rest more, and laugh more. And of course, these things are generally better when we do them together. I try to do that every day with you from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. So today I'm talking really about creating more and connecting more. And to do that, we need some brain space, right? So how do you do that? How do you create calm in the middle of the storm? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And a lot of this discussion was spurred. Chris Hayes wrote a little opinion essay in the New York Times that I took a read on. Came out around January 3rd. So join us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And he talks about the fact that even philosophers have pondered this imponderable, that there's actually something innate about us as human beings, that we seek almost at any cost to avoid boredom. That this new era, right, that all of this new ways to receive information and all this social media and, oh God, Elon Musk is now going to buy TikTok. That sounds like a terrible idea. All of this stuff, right, and the attention capitalism industry isn't really new. The form has just changed, right? That basically through all of time, we have in some ways sought as human beings to avoid boredom. For example, Chris Hayes mentions this from Pascal. This is a philosopher. When I have occasionally set myself to consider the different distractions of men, this is from 1670, so of course he's only talking about men. And this is from Pascal's Pensée. I have discovered that all of the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact, that they cannot sit quietly in their own chamber. And in fact, researchers have confirmed this. They've run studies where people are asked to sit in a room and do nothing, and there's no stimulation for 15 minutes, and people hate it. We can't do it. We can't be quiet and alone for 15 minutes. And in fact, in one study, participants had a choice: sit alone quietly and do nothing, or press a button and get a small electrical shock. Literally experience intense unpleasantness or small level of pain. And guess what? Most people, and men by a much larger proportion than women, chose the electrical shock. So how do we find peace in all of this? Pascal says further this: hence it comes to men so much love of noise and stir. Hence it comes that the prison is so horrible a punishment. Hence it comes that the pleasure of solitude is a thing incomprehensible. This craving, this desire to avoid boredom, he contended, was about our natural poverty of our feeble and mortal condition, so miserable that nothing can comfort us when we think of it closely. And that even the king, the master of his own universe, cannot sit idly by and simply enjoy his kingdom. He seeks out war and conflict in revolutions. And finally, if all else fails, bring out the court jester. So how do you find your peace to create, to connect? Nick from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. How do you find some peace in all the noise, my friend?
Well, honestly, Maggie, I'm, first of all, full disclosure, I'm a conservative, but I did vote for Kamala Harris, but the reason I did, not because I liked her, I think she's an idiot, but because I'm also a former Marine, and when I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, I was telling the truth. I'd be telling the truth today. He will be lying. And I couldn't support that. So, but the problem is, this is the best we could do? Those two? Really? Are you kidding me? There's got to be two better people to represent the country.
I hear your frustration, Nick.
Does that
Thanks
make sense?
For calling. Yeah, listen, it does. If you're not a Kamala fan for whatever reason, and I think, you know, the truncated campaign, the fact that there wasn't a contested primary, all of these things added to the likelihood that people would be incredibly dissatisfied with her as a candidate. I think that there were elements of the campaign that were poorly managed. I think nobody ever let, and I think this is a problem with Democratic candidates writ large, that oftentimes they're overly managed and like, oh, they sound like politicians. I hate politicians that sound like politicians. Listen, I'll forgive you getting something wrong if you're truly speaking from the heart and you are being an actual, real, living, breathing human being of a person, that you show why you care about this other than, well, this is the next office I want to run for, if that makes any sense. Well, I got you on the line, Nick, and I really appreciate your candor. And I also appreciate your service. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And taking our collective responsibility as citizens and your oath specifically so very seriously to vote for someone who you didn't particularly care for. But while I've got you here, Nick, with all that thanks in mind, do you agree that we've got so much noise these days, right? Are you able to find some peace in all the noise? And if so, how do you do it?
Honestly, Maggie, when I'm done with work, I play video games. It lets me get to another world that I don't care about. I personally love The Witcher. So, yeah.
I hear you, Nick. Listen, I'm a board game fanatic. Yesterday when I kind of stumbled across this idea that we need to spend some time on Wednesdays checking out and checking in with one another, we talked about board games almost for like an entire hour. So, Nick, it's a lot of people, myself included, whether it's a board game or a video game, and the idea that, hey, I'm not going to think about this stuff for a while. I've got a community of people. Maybe you're connecting online with that community if you're a gamer. Yeah, and it lets you get out of this for a while. One of the things that I think is so challenging is that so much of our mechanisms to connect, and thanks so much, Nick, from Madison, appreciate you. Please keep listening and calling and participating. One of the challenges to connecting is that so many of our avenues to connect are online, right? Like that can sometimes be really hard. And so, you know, do we face the challenge that having disagreements and sorting through them, having, frankly, conflict is becoming more difficult. And I think the conflict itself is easy to have, but I mean productive conflict, where Nick says, hey, I didn't like Kamala. And I go, okay, why? And we actually have a back and forth about that. Or where we, if you're more inclined to support Democratic candidates, where we can say, hey, we agree about these things, but I'm going to criticize this Democrat anyways, because I don't think this is the best that we can do. How are we able to have productive conflict? Because I think to have productive conflict, you have to have some space for creativity, right? Because if we view conflict as the only outcome can ever be like, I win, you lose, or you win, I lose, it doesn't leave any place to find, again, creativity to help us level up, move through the conflict, move through the differences of opinion, and get to that better thing, that better place. I mean, how many times have you walked into a coffee shop or you're meeting a friend and there's a long line in the coffee shop and you start feeling around in your jacket pocket, right? And you can't find your phone. And there's this like immediate sense of anxiety and stress, like, oh my God, I can't find my phone. What am I going to do while I'm standing here in line? Right? Like, we're there now. And so I'm in this place where, at least by my 2025 intentions to try to create more, try to connect more, I'm thinking about how do I turn down the noise? And this is a new phrase like kind of burst onto the scene. I don't know, maybe in 2024, maybe a little earlier, like sleep hygiene. I was like, what? Wait a minute. What the? We used to just shut the drapes, turn out the lights, and go the hell to bed, right? Like sleep hygiene. Now it's like, you don't place your phone next to your sleeping space. Turn off the TV. Blue light is bad, right? Like, get a white noise machine. By the way, I have all of this because I'm a crappy sleeper. I don't have good sleep hygiene. But the very fact that I've, now I got to worry about sleep hygiene. Because, of course, one of the keys to unlocking creativity is a good night's rest, which is another one of my 2025 intentions, to rest more, to rest well. I want to give some shout outs to our texters. Kimber, of course, thank you so much. You've been blowing it up today from Muskoda. She's responding a little bit to Nick, who called in. Harris is not stupid. I completely agree with you, Kimber. One does not become the elected district attorney of San Francisco, beating all comers. One does not ascend to be a senator and to be a vice president, the first female, Asian, and Black vice president. You do not become a presidential candidate without being pretty gosh darn smart, at least about some things. Except if you're a really rich, super rich orange guy. I've digressed. Jake from Milwaukee, if you want peace, not P-I-E-C-E, peace, don't go on social media. The hatred on Blue Sky is terrible. It's also supposed to be a place of allyship. I think social media, whatever its form, is absolutely creativity killing. Connection destroying. Len from Madison, reading science fiction stories helps too. So Len, I have never been able to go through the looking glass into the fantasy or science fiction. For me, my science fiction, Len, is like spy stories and legal fiction. That's my jam that takes me to other places. Liz from Sun Prairie, an art teacher, says creating arts is magical. How do you turn down the noise and turn up the peace, connection, and creativity? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back for more peace and creativity after these brief messages. Enjoy your 24, do your thing and rep your hood. The world is all yours, but still we all grind. Forever in a day, the choice you make is really all fine.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
On another day, chasing the losers away. Yeah. On another day, chasing the losers away. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God.
It's another day, and it's always better when you join me for some great conversation. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am your host, Maggie Dawn, your friendly lawyer, lady, and economist on the talk radio dial every weekday from 2 to 4 p.m., but on Wednesdays, starting at 3:30. This is our first inaugural episode. We're going to call this segment Over the Hump and Trump. We're going to try to not talk about politics, though it shows up every once in a while, which is okay, but we're focusing in these segments on how to move more, play more, create, connect more, rest and laugh more. Today, we're talking about how to find some peace and connection in all of the political noise, all of the news, all of the attention-grabbing stuff that cross our metaphorical windshield every day. If you have some good ideas about this, we welcome you to join our conversation. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How do you find your peace and connection in all the noise? Rick from Wauwatosa, how do you find your peace? How do you find your zen, my friend?
I make skits like commercials. The beer companies were fabulous at it, you know, with the humor. And
yes.
Catching everybody. So I came up with a partly political new one, which would be called the used car salesman selling the humpmobile. And he turns it into a TikTok humpmobile, with a baseball bat and price per dent so he can make the sale.
Oh, I love it, Richard. Tastes great, less filling.
Crazy Jim's used car lot. You know,
so I love this, Rick. Thanks so much for listening and calling. Rick from Waukesha. Appreciate your participation. You know, me and my friends, we used to watch SNL, especially in high school, like a lot. And we would come up with our own like riffs on the church lady, right? And we'd do impersonations. It was such a big deal. I want to get back. Liz from Sun Prairie sent in a wonderful text message. You can text or call just like Rick or Liz, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Liz, I mentioned her right before our last break. She's an art teacher, and she said it is magical experiencing kids making art. Creating is powerful, calming, and a mindfulness activity. Whether the result is, quote, good or bad art, it doesn't matter. She says, a friend who is a counselor confirmed that we can't be both anxious and creative at the same time. So everyone out there, Liz says, go make art, music, or a new recipe, but enjoy your creativity. Liz, I feel you. I hear you. If you've been listening for a while, many of you know that I like to cook, not a baker, too specific. I like to cook. Cooking is a good, a big creative enterprise for me. I'm also a violinist from back in the day. And I have often likened going to rehearsals, especially with orchestras or other groups that I've played with. My brain feels the same way that it does after a good therapy session. And I mean like psychotherapy, like, ooh, I feel relaxed. I didn't want to go to rehearsal. But after I go to therapy, I always feel much better. And I think Liz is hitting on a couple of really key things. There's actually a woman out there. Her name's Jenny Odell. She wrote a book called How to Do Nothing. And her two fundamental ideas are this. You want to move outward towards things and people around you that bring you joy and happiness, and you want to move downward into place. And I think when we think about spending time in nature and animals, with kids and art and all those things, and maybe meditation or prayer, if that's your thing, it certainly helps do that. Pat texting in on WGBW says, Maggie, can you imitate the church lady and say, well, isn't that special? Yes, I can. It wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. A little George W. Bush in there. Yes, I love me some church lady. Isn't that special? What was that? Oh, could it be Satan? I don't do it nearly as well as Dana Carvey, but yes, I loved me some church lady. Made a recent reappearance on Saturday Night Live, I think just after the new year, just around Christmas. Thanks so much, Pat from WGBW. I always will put a little hackneyed impersonation out there. Love that stuff. So again, I think in this spirit of getting over the hump day, getting over Trump, taking some time, I always want to connect with you and my friends and family, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this with each and every one of you every Wednesday. Again, we're going to call this Over the Hump and Trump. You will find this segment every Wednesday at 3:30 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Liz from Saukville giving us some other good pointers. Liz loves to watch birds. Again, I think anything that takes us out of ourselves, creates some quiet, is amazing. I am also a fan of the Daily Constitutional, which makes me sound like somebody who would tell you to get your sneakers off the Davenport. And by constitutional, I mean a daily walk. And I have been trying desperately, and maybe you all can help hold me accountable. I have been trying desperately to take a walk and leave my device at home. Try it, y'all. It is a challenge. Maybe we'll check back in on this in our new special Wednesday segment. Sue from Franklin says, we taught our daughter to make the church. To do the church lady when she was about 18 months old. That is impressive, Sue from Franklin. I love it. We all need to laugh a little bit more. We'll try to do that with each and every one of you on Wednesdays. Take care, everybody. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it's always better when we stand together. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dom Salvia is up next, and tomorrow I've got Tom Paulsiewicz. We dig back into the January 6th report and Pam Bondi's confirmation hearing. One day he goes in-
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.